Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, it is so nice this week to have power.
And not... Well, last week our show was brought to you by Energizer Generators.
Yeah.
Literally brought to you by that.
Yeah, I mean, so I did have power. I was just having to pay $3 a gallon to fuel that power. But as we were talking before the show, I'd much rather spend that $120 on fuel...
For 4 days
than to...
Be without power.
So many other people. And there's still people now that still are on week two with no power almost.
Yeah.
So it's, they've got it rough. And, you know, I feel bad for those guys. And, of course, you know, other parts of the country are doing the same thing.
That was what I was going to say. Everyone else across the country, especially, you know, Texas, where this just does not happen on a yearly basis.
Texas said, hold my beer.
You guys had a rough weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just doesn't happen down there. It's kind of like the Cowboys winning Super Bowls.
Shots fired. It's like when, for me, I think back a couple years ago when that snowstorm hit the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
And, like, literally there was a picture taken and it looked like The Walking Dead because there were cars just stopped on the freeway, doors open, no one around.
It we crazy. Do that here with 8 inches of snow, though, too. Well, so
we didn't do that this time.
No, this time you're right.
This time we actually
Thanks, COVID.
Portland.
I think it was COVID that kept that from happening.
As long as it doesn't happen again, I had to try and commute during that 4 or 5 years ago. That was horrible.
200 cars parked on the side of the road where people got stuck and just went, we're good.
Ran out of gas because they weren't anticipating that they were going to be stuck on a freeway for 5 hours.
Yeah, now I think a lot more people realize that, wait a minute, I'm going to get stuck on the freeway for 5 hours. And then our city government here is so kind and compassionate, they won't tow those cars off the freeway.
Yeah,
they'll just leave them there until someone decides to come get them.
Well, I know that at least they, at times, when the weather gets bad, they will tow them into a separate parking lot just off of the freeway or whatnot.
Like up but to they're the not zoo going, or whatever. Yeah,
but they're not taking them away, which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice.
All right, well, hey, it's a home improvement
show. Let's talk home improvement. So at least we're back and powered up, and it's been busy. Been working on my bathroom right now.
Big project going on there.
Just doing a lot of cool stuff with that. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're going to talk about, in this first hour here, my top 10 spring maintenance projects that you can tackle now.
Get on it,
exactly. But first, make sure you follow us on social media. Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those different places. And you can even find my key designer tip stuff that I actually, from the Kitchen to Bath show that I had up on Forbes this week.
There you go, yeah. You get a little nice exposure for
us. Yeah. Thanks, Jamie Gold. She was on the show here, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking her book. And so I've been... contributing to her articles a little bit, throwing in my 2 cents every once in a while, and 2 months in a row got in there. So It's a lot of fun. She's been doing great, too, out there with her book.
And hey, if you're looking for the home base for the show, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. That's our website. You'll find the podcast there. That is the home base for the podcast. Where it goes up first, you're going to want to find it there. You'll also find our About Us, a way to email us if you have a question. But we really, if you have a question, we want to answer that on air. Give us a call here in studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number, 971-233-8992.
You got it. Well, let's talk it, man, these spring maintenance projects. Now, it's not springtime yet. I know there's snow on the ground and everything else out there. It's not spring, but looking forward to spring, we're getting a little bit closer every day.
And spring is a big time to get stuff done around the house, especially, you know, spring cleaning is huge. And so you want to tackle that as you go into spring. But right now is when you prep your home and get those extra side projects kind of all done and taken care of as you head into spring.
Absolutely. Number 10 on here. And this doesn't have to happen every year, but it should happen every couple at least.
And you should do it.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's what house fires are made of. Clean out your dryer duct. That duct that goes from the back of your dryer to the outside of your house, it could be 2 feet, it could be 40 feet.
That's like the I don't want to say aluminum, but the metal-looking tube in the back
Yeah, you've got that kind of corrugated tube back there. Mm-hmm. It usually goes to hard pipe, and it goes out the house. Like at my house, it goes through about 4 feet of pipe, goes right out.
Nice.
No big deal. My last house, it went about 10 feet. House before that went about 30 feet.
Oof. At what point would you like really start worrying to make that a yearly kind of upkeep?
Yeah, if you do a lot of laundry, like if you've got family of six, something like that, I'd be probably doing it every year. But here's the thing. Here's what happens is as it builds up, it makes the pipe smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making the pipe smaller with flammable lint. You know, if you're going to go start a fire, little lint's great fire starter tool. Take some of that dryer lint.
Find.
Yeah. Problem is if you get a dryer fire, then all of a sudden you've got a jet engine in there,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure you keep that cleaned up because at some point it can get so packed up that it's choking the dryer down. One, it'll burn your dryer up. Two, it could cause a fire, so you always want to make sure of that. So you could go into your home improvement store, get the little brushes that'll go in there, almost like little chimney sweep brushes and rods, and you can get in there and get it cleaned up. Not too bad. It gets tough when you have elbows and bends, but mm-hmm. Depending what it is, worst case, you can hire a heating and cooling company to come out. Most of them do it. We'll do it and clean it up for you if not. And there's also some franchise dryer duct cleaning services out there too. But get somebody in there to get cleaned up if you can't tackle it. But it's a pretty easy DIY project. Buy the tools once. You won't wear them out. You can get it done, and you'll be good to go. And it's an energy saver and
say,
a fire saver.
Yeah.
So anytime you can do that, it's one of those things that I'd be tackling every year or two, depending on how well you use it.
Just seems easy. Doesn't seem like it's that labor intensive.
You don't
need to go out and buy things to get it done.
It's the one thing that gets forgotten.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a few of them on here that you're going to go, oh, when was the last time I did that?
Out of sight, out of mind.
That's what this list is for today. So the next one, number 9, check your basement or crawl space for signs of water.
We talk about this often.
Yeah, this is one of those things that it's a good time. I got to do it at my house. Haven't done it in a little while. I got to stick my head down there and see. We've had a wet
mm-hmm.
winter here. It's not been a dry one. We've got plenty of snow in the mountains. And across the country, there's been plenty of stuff too. So we want to make sure that that area is dry. If it's not, make sure that you tackle that completely. Now, here's some little tips on dealing with water in a basement or water under your foundation. There are some great companies out there. Like in Portland, we work with Bloom Crawl Space Services.
Mm-hmm.
They are great partners. Those are people I can trust. There are also some franchises out there that love to sell you $25,000 systems that you might not need.
Of course.
So make sure that you get multiple quotes from people. And if someone's telling you, hey, that's a $5,000 fix, might be. Someone's telling you it's a $30,000 fix, I want to see you get multiple people pointing and saying, yeah, that's a $30,000 fix. Because there are times that could be a $30,000 fix. But many times there's a $5,000 alternative to the $5,000, the $30,000 fix that could take care of the problem anyway.
Okay, so you wouldn't say that $5,000 fix would be anything like cutting corners.
Maybe not. You know, one thing that I'll tell you that most of the time,
that if you've got water in your crawl space or basement, the first place I look, like 60% of the time, that's caused by gutters and downspouts, that water not going far enough too away from the house.
Yeah.
I want to see it 12 feet away. And I'm not talking put on those cheesy cording extensions to your downspouts. If it goes down to the ground and hits the ground there at the base of the foundation, I want you to take like 3-inch ABS pipe, run it into the ground, run it out, get it out away from the house at least 12 feet and downstream, downhill away from that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't do anything if you put it 12 feet away and then it rolls right back to the house.
So make sure that you've got that going. And if you can put it in a dry well, great. But get it well away from the house. That's the first thing you can do, and it's an easy spring project of getting those gutters and downspouts all taken care of into a storm drain system and away from the house. Easy DIY, not that hard to do. Then you can reassess what you have going down there, because you got to think about it. All that water on your roof is going into those gutters, or if you don't have gutters, even worse, and that's going down, and it's coming down, and you're point loading right next to the foundation.
Repeated, for lack of a better term, pressure just repeatedly on the ground right there on your foundation.
Right there, and you know that water will do a ton of damage to that foundation. So get it away from there, and you'll be better off. Then you can reassess it, but that's an easy fix to start out first. If you can get that outside groundwater under control, it's looking for the low point, and that's going to be your crawl space or foundation. So if you do that, you're going to be better off. That's going to save you boatloads of money, and it's going to make that foundation even healthier. Well, coming up here, we're going to have number 8 coming up. We're going to have to blast through these. If I keep blathering on about some of these, we'll never get through this list. But when we come back, we'll get into number 8. And this is one that we talk about a lot, but it's one that really deals with indoor air quality and how healthy your home is. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We're having a great time here in the studio. I hope you're having a great time with the show. We've got some big things we're talking about here on spring projects.
Absolutely. Things you want to get prepared for. Get done now as you head into spring.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's jump into number 8. When was the last time you changed that air filter in your house?
Oh, in my house, not my car.
Oh, yeah, we won't get to that one. We'll hit that one next.
You want to do this once a year, almost always.
In your car, yeah.
Well, yeah. No.
Well, depending on the filter now. So here's the thing. We have people that have, like, I have a little 1-inch filter in my house.
Yeah.
That's once a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for that one. Now, if you've got one of the thicker ones, you might get a few months out of it. Here's the thing. It depends on the size of the filter. It depends on how the air quality is inside your home. Like, I've got remodeling going around in my house. So I've got dust.
I've got dust, dogs.
Yeah. I've got everything that clogs up air filters. I've got it.
Well, and also just trying to think of a year-to-year basis. I mean, anyone on the West Coast, we've been dealing with wildfires for the better part of a decade. This means that, you know, once that summer months are over, you should be changing that out in September.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, here's what. So, car filters.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
That was a joke. But yeah.
But yeah. No. Seriously, it's one of those things that's funny because people will be complaining in their cars, going, "I'm just not getting enough air through there. It's not. Well, have you changed the cabin air filter? Oh, I have one of those.
Well, what's that?
Where's
that at?
Where's that at? Yeah. So that ends up being a problem. But it's the same thing inside your house. You know, if you forget, I mean. It was funny. We did a shoot with our friend Stephanie Kralovich when she worked on Moore.
Mm-hmm.
It had been probably 9 months to a year at her house when we shot that segment a few years ago. And hers was just about getting ready to taco and fold up.
Ooh, okay.
Because it had a good, you know, half inch of stuff on it. It was thick.
It was ready to go.
It was ready to go. And it was, luckily, it was a big filter, but still. You know, really on mine, if I go about 6 weeks on mine, I could still see light through it, but it's caked. It's due.
You okay. Know? And good that's. It's been a couple months for mine, so I should probably look at that.
Better look at yours. Yeah. Yeah, yours is probably getting there, too.
I'm sure it is. Yep. I can tell that at this point.
Oh, yeah. So that's one of the big ones there, and that's something you should be just double-checking to make sure you got it taken care of.
Fire hazard.
That could be. You know, you don't want to get that sucked into the fan. It could at least take your system down.
Yep.
That's the big one. Now, when you're talking... The next one here. When was the last time?
The little filter corner here.
Yeah, we got filter itis right here on this one. You know, most people have, I'd say most, not all by any means, most people have a water dispenser on their fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got the apartment, maybe not. But many have that ice maker. Most of those have a water filter in them. When was the last time you changed that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the red light is on, but you know, I'm kidding. I don't have one.
Yeah.
But I have had one before where we were just like, man, we just changed this water filter and now the red light's already flashing at me. So it's something that does have to be changed quite often.
Now, here is one of the things with some of the refrigerators. This is where the sales department kind of gets involved with some of the refrigerators that I don't like. Some brands... They don't measure how much water or the quality of water that it's getting plugged up. They just say, at whatever that interval, maybe it's 6 months. It goes up.
It triggers.
Yep. Time to change that. I don't care if you've made 4 quarts of water out of that refrigerator. Time to change
it. You need to change. No, you don't.
That's the problem. And so what happens is a lot of people go, I just changed that last year. I've got beautiful water. I've got a whole house water filtration system. Still good to get that thing changed. So make sure that you're doing it, you know, and follow the manufacturer's recommendations. I've literally had a house that had a whole house filtration system that was dialed in and perfect. And then it really made me frustrated when my refrigerator filter would go, hey, you need, I'm like, I've already filtered out more than what you're doing. But you just pay attention to that. Some of the refrigerators will stop and just quit dispensing water at some point. Nope, you're not going to change it. We're shutting you down. So be careful of that out there.
Absolutely.
So there's two on the filter situation. But now that we're talking fridge, I'm going to slide another one in here before we go out to break. When was the last time you got down on your hands and knees with the vacuum cleaner and cleaned out the refrigerator coils that are underneath the doors of the refrigerator?
Oh, you're asking? I thought you were just doing a rhetorical question.
Looking at you now.
No, don't look at me.
Never?
Never.
Never.
I have not done that.
Most people, it's a never. And you pop the little...
In front of it.
Yeah, but that little toe kick area down there?
Yeah.
Pull that out and grab the 8 miles of dust bunnies out there. That should be done here probably twice a year.
Okay.
And the thing is that refrigerator works so much harder...
The more dust that collects down there.
You think about it. It's like jamming your lint filter down there, and it's dog hair, Cheerios, or whatever else is in the house, you know, and that just gets sucked into that because there is an airflow that goes through there, and so that's another one of those that you got to be really careful with. That's with those coils, and take the time to clean it up. Take the time to clean it up. That can be dangerous. Now, I'm going to put a little sidebar that's not on our list that we're going to talk about cleaning up things like that. If you have those electric cadet heaters, now those are those little about the size, 8.5 by 11, like the size of a sheet of paper.
Okay.
They're those fan forced heaters that are on your wall.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
have you have your regular thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same kind of thing. You should be cleaning those out as well because those are a heated coil, and there were some. You know, recalls years ago on that where people weren't cleaning them out enough. And if you've been using that all, you should be cleaning that a couple times during the heating season and then right before you use them again. That's another one of those things that have coils. These are heating coils versus cooling coils, but that can be a fire hazard. So make sure you've cleaned those out. That's another one of those grill things. Make sure you turn the power off, take the two screws out, and you'll be okay. That'll keep that clean, but always turn the power off on those heaters before you do it. More on our list just as soon as Around the House returns.
Farewell, Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth.
Gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good. Let's pour gold in this glass.
Welcome back to Around the House, Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you hit us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Instagram, same thing. Twitter, LinkedIn. Make sure you head over to the website, aroundthehouseonline.com.
I mean, really, all you got to do is put Around the House with Eric G into any search engine, and you'll find plenty of ways to get in contact with us. But we want to we want you literally to get in contact with us. We want to answer your home improvement questions. Give us a call here in the studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 971-233-8992.
You got it. Well, we've been talking today, at least in this segment here, this first half of the show, about my top 10 home maintenance projects that you can tackle now. So we talked about number 10, cleaning out your dryer duct. Number 9, checking your basement or crawl space for water. Number 8, when was the last time you changed that air filter? 7, when was the last time you changed the water filter in your fridge? And then we got into number 6, which was clean out the coils in the fridge. And that's that little forgotten area down underneath the doors where you pop off that little plastic grill and get that vacuum hose down there and find out exactly what's been on your floor and why your refrigerator's been eating it. Because that gets to be a mess. Now, this is the next one here that I posted up a few weeks ago as a reminder on Facebook, because I had nearly averted disaster on this one.
Well, especially when temperatures drop, this is an important one to keep on top of.
Man, this is just one that it just, boom, you know, water gets colder. My washing machine hoses had almost failed. And if you saw this on Facebook, both hot and cold were bubbled. Here's why. So if you think about it, you got a rubber hose, kind of like a garden hose back there. And washing machines turn and shut water off and on quickly. It's a servo. So when it shuts off, it's not like you're turning off a valve that's slow. It's it's a gate.
It slams it shut.
Bam! It slams it shut. Well, all that water comes in and goes, boom! Hits that hose. It flexes out. It
causes
absorbs
pressure.
That, which is awesome. But it also wears those hoses out. So here's the thing. If you look back there and you see a rubber hose, just a black rubber hose, if that thing's over 4 years old, swap it out. That simple. Now, the braided ones can go a lot longer because that braided helps keep that bubbles from happening.
It keeps the structure of the pipe intact.
It keeps that from bubbling up and bursting much more. So that does a really good job of that. Now, here's the thing. If you've got a decade on those hoses, take a look at them. See how soft they are, because if they start getting really soft, they could be coming apart. If they're getting really hard, they could be just getting old too. So depending on how the material is that they're made of is breaking down, if they're either really flimsy or really hard,
really rigid,
then that's time to swap those things out. You know, and whenever you're putting in a new washer or dryer, just get new hoses and get
the braided
ones
anyway.
Yeah, you're having to hook it up. Send the old ones off with the old one.
Yeah. Just make that something that you don't have to worry about again.
And I'll tell the story because I tell it every time we talk about washing machine hoses. I was brought in a designer in Seattle on a project probably a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago. This house, cool contemporary three-story house, kind of up on a hill a little bit.
Nice.
Nice view. People went off to Europe for the week.
Oh, I know this story.
Yep. Washing machine was up in the master suite upstairs where the view was. One of the hoses broke on the washing machine.
While they're on vacation.
Yep. It was the hot water.
Oh,
and it just kept running hot water. It filled up the basement.
Entirely.
Entirely until the sliding glass door got enough water pressure behind it that it was like a swimming pool and pushed the door out. And then the water started running into the street because it was thousands of gallons at this time. horrible. Then somebody realized that they had a problem.
Yeah, I'm sure a neighbor looked out and said, what is going on?
Yeah. They had to gut that house down to the studs.
So all much the way water up. Damage, especially. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was, the water was just running down the stairs, basically. And it was, it's a garden hose, but I mean, you can fill a garden hose up with a swimming pool with a garden hose.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't take long. So that's what happened. And I don't know how many days it ran, but it ran for a lot until it just overwhelmed the basement.
That's the last phone call you want to get from a neighbor while you're on vacation.
Especially in Europe.
That you have at least five figures of property damage.
Oh, it was six.
I know.
It was six back then.
Figured.
Even more so now, because, I mean, it's not only you're going to finish the house, you literally have to go back in and dry that out and stop any mold and mildew.
Start everything over, like you said, from the studs.
Yeah. And even at that, if Carolyn Bozowski was sitting here and I hear her voice in my head right now going, tear it down and start over, it's easier.
Yep. Yeah. Don't try and clean it at that point.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yep.
Get clean product and put it in.
Yep. You're going to fight it too much. So that's the bad part there. So that's one of those that really, really is important, because that water damage will just tear the snot out of stuff. And then, speaking of that, this is a good transition into this one.
Carolyn's still squawking in your ear here.
She's squawking in my ear here. Walk around your house and do a mold and mildew check. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Here's why. If you've got a house in your moisture-laden season, like in Florida, sometimes that can be the summertime.
Yeah, the humidity. Yeah,
humidity. In the south, it can be that. But during your humid time of year, I want you to go take a look at all the places that mold or mildew could be growing. Where's that?
Check that crawl space.
Well, check the crawl space. Check the attic. There's two outside the home. Inside, I want you to go in the back of closets.
Yep.
Especially if you have people in the habit of walking in the front door. Coat closet there. They hang the wet jacket up in the coat closet. I've seen
no ventilation,
no heat, no cool, no nothing. That can be bad.
No, when I was a kid, there was an apartment that me and my family lived in, and my mom actually found mold in the back of an apartment closet, and it became a big ordeal because my mom does not do well with mold.
Yeah, and that's what it is. So you need to make sure there. You want to pull the blinds back away from the windows, because if you've got a window leaking, press the drywall around the windows and just make sure you don't have any soft spots, you know, and really do a mold check around. Get under the cabinets. Look under the cabinets to make sure. Pull the bottom toe kick under the dishwasher and see if that's leaking. Just do a good walk around test to see if you have any water damage. Now, if you're worried about it, pretty easy. You can get a hold of Carolyn Bozowski, and she has the mold test kit where you can do an air sample of outside and inside your home. And she has her examine air kit, which you can do. And that works really well for testing mold. And you can get a test inside your home as a DIY kit that you mail back to them. And they do the kit. They test it and say, okay.
Let you know exactly what's in your air.
Yeah, you know what you're breathing. So that's huge, especially when you're trying to deal with health issues like that inside the home. But just walking around and doing that, get your eyes on stuff, you know, and make sure that, you know, if you're seeing mold and mildew in bathrooms, one of the fastest things to do is just to make sure maybe you need to swap out that light switch in there with the bath fan on it to a timer.
I hate that. And I know you're looking directly at me because I have that switch in my bathroom that I rent in the house that I rent.
Yep.
I hate those switches. I hate that switch.
Is it a turn one?
No. It's got five minutes, 30 minutes, up to 2 hours.
Yep.
And it's just a button.
Yep.
And the fan continuously runs while the lights on. I hate the switch. I just hate it.
Yep. But they have a wonderful purpose of keeping.
Yeah, I understand why it's there, but I also am conscientious enough that I know how to operate a bath fan.
I know. Most people don't.
I know.
Where most people want it to have that 20-minute is kind of the basic. If you take a shower, you need that fan to run at least
afterwards.
20 minutes.
Well, you also need to keep it running. You can't, like, with the way these switches work, when I turn the light off, the fan goes off. So if I'm leaving the bathroom, I'm turning the light off. Sorry, that's how I was raised. You don't leave the light on. So I don't have a fan running in my bathroom for, you know, the extended time after I get out of the shower.
Exactly. That's where that's the problem. That's where that fan switch works out well for that. So that's where it can save you some time and really keep it healthier in there, because that's one of those places that and then also in your house, just make sure you're running that if you're cooking, you know, use your vent hood that vents outside and out of the house, and that should go
outside.
Yeah. If not, you got other problems. Make sure that vent fan does vent outside, and that goes out there, and then that makes for a healthier home. That is the worst offender inside your home, is that vent fan in the bathroom or in the kitchen not venting outside. That's mold growth 101.
Well, and sorry, but we've had, at least in our area, I'm not sure how everyone else has been doing with all of the snow and ice, but we have had carbon monoxide poisoning in our area, and it's been a rampant problem for the last couple weeks. So don't be stupid. Make sure stuff's venting outside. Don't use propane inside. Don't put it in your basement.
Put your generator in the basement. I mean,
quick PSA for everybody.
Yeah, I get that, man. I get that. And I can't believe, I think we lost 8 or 10 people last week in our area.
Over like 30 cases being reported to hospitals.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's one of those things that it's like, all right, guys, don't use a combustion engine or something, or even one of those outside patio heaters. Don't use that inside the house. If it's propane, don't take it inside. If it's running on something like any of those generators, don't do any of that. All right, more of our list of Green Spring projects just as soon as we're on the house return. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We're having a good time knocking out our spring top 10 home maintenance projects
that you can do in the winter.
You got it. It's not spring yet, but we want to kind of get you started on a few of these that are pretty important.
We got plenty of stuff to do in the spring already. Let's try and get a couple things done early.
Especially me. We need to have a work party over here.
Oh, man. You need a work party like every week.
I know.
All the projects you got going on.
Yeah, you know it. You know it. Well, hey, let's run down these real quick, and we'll get everybody caught up that's just joining us here. So number 10, clean out your dryer duct at least every couple years. Sooner if you use it a lot. Check your basement or crawl space for water. Number 8, when was the last time you changed that air filter in your house on your heating and cooling system, even your car? When was the last time you changed the water filter in your fridge was number 7. Number 6, clean out those coils down below in the fridge.
Dane, quit looking at me.
Stop, I'm looking at you. Yep, stop. Exactly. And then check that washing machine hoses to see if they're failing like mine almost did a few years ago.
Yeah, see, I'm not the only one that screws up.
I know. Well, that was a rental. No,
so is mine.
Right, there you go. Walk around and do a mold check. And now here we're at number 3, which we got to get all these last 3 in here. When was the last time you sealed the stone, if you have granite or marble, or the grout, like tile? You should be cleaning and sealing that every few years, depending on the materials and the products you're using.
I mean, I mop my floors.
There you go.
I mean, like,
are they tile?
No, it's
vinyl flooring.
Yeah, vinyl, yeah. fake tile. You know.
All right, that doesn't count. So you have you're in rental, so it doesn't really count as much. There's a lot less tile usually. Yes, more of those.
And
other
no, I don't have granite countertops.
Yeah, exactly. So, but really, if you have that grout in your shower or bathtub on the walls, you should be doing that probably every year, every couple years, if you're using a really good sealer. Make sure that you're. A lot of people are going, huh? What? You can hire people to do this. It's labor intensive, but you could also go out and rent a steamer, and steam does a great job of cleaning that grout, and then you can let it dry and seal it. So
that's your preferred method of cleaning the grout, isn't it? I've heard
it
you talk about that before.
It's done the best, and steam actually, if you watch the professionals, they'll bring a steamer in. And what I like is that, especially in kitchens and stuff like that, it sanitizes too. That steam can be a good sanitizer because it's hot enough to kill things.
Yep.
So, always good when you're trying to clean that porous surface with that. Now, there's new grouts now that you don't have to seal. Make sure you're not hitting one of those. Make sure you know the grout. But that's only the last few years that you've really had to had to worry about grouts that you didn't have to seal.
I was going
to
say, when in doubt, how is there a way that you can check that?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you just see if the sealer soaks in or not, really. Yeah. I mean, you can put a little dab of sealer and you can try by doing a spot. And yeah. If it's just laying on top, then maybe you got an epoxy or one of the other ones out there. But, yeah, make sure that you're getting that sealed and getting it taken care of. You know, you don't have to seal quartz countertops, but granite, marble, any kind of stone typically needs some level of sealing, as well as any concrete product. So that could be anywhere from a, you know, you can really do this. It can look really nice if you do that that exposed aggregate driveway. Those can be sealed to look really cool. There's a lot of things you can do with that. And so that's a big one right there. Number two, have caulking gun will travel. You got to have those things sealed up around windows, doors. Why are you laughing at me?
You know, it's our little like hidden joke that we can't talk about too much, but the New Zealand.
Oh, yes. The New Zealand deck sealant.
Check that out on
YouTube.
Always got to. We talk about caulking guns and stuff like that.
Got to have that caulking done. And now outside, it's probably not in half the country caulking weather.
True.
So you got to make sure
when
you're
it's
up
wet,
in the,
you're not going to do that.
No, it's cold, wet, not that time of year.
Now, but inside,
different story. You know, make sure you get that stuff around the shower. Make sure you get all that stuff done, because those are the places where the little slow damage occurs, and that's what I really, really want to make sure. Because, like around the bathtub, like the vinyl flooring where it hits the bathtub, that's a common area, and that don't use just regular latex caulking. Use a good silicone where you can. As long as you're not going to be an area that's painting, that silicone is so much more flexible.
Holds up, too.
Holds up so much better. And people go, oh, but I hate the cleanup. It's because you're not doing it right. It's that simple.
It's usually the case.
Well, there's a trick to silicone caulking. I learned this from my buddy William, who's the Ardex rep here. And he's got a video on YouTube with Ardex. It's really cool. And I'll bring him back on here again. He's been on the show before. But what he does is he gets, you know, that glass cleaner that's in the metal can that's in the spray can?
Yeah.
You know, it's that, you know, Spray Riot or whatever brand that is.
Yeah.
The foaming style glass cleaner. So you lay down your nice thin bead of silicone caulking, because the rule number one with silicone is don't put it anywhere you don't want it. You lay that down, and before you get out your caulking finishing tool to clean it up, or your finger or whatever else, spray that glass cleaner on everything that you're going to touch it with. So the caulking tool, your hands, anything else. That stuff, silicone won't stick to it.
Okay.
So you can slide right off. So it's actually there to release dirt, which makes it the silicone release off it too. So you go through it and you can let it dry. That window cleaner just dissipates into the air. Mm-hmm. Nice, simple cleanup. It's easier to clean up than latex caulk. You will now become a silicone caulking fan.
There you go.
That's the one right there. Now, number one, this is one that starts to get kind of unhealthy that I want people to really pay attention to, because we all like healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And now the dishwasher can be a problem. You will see people that don't have the hot water turned up enough in their hot water heater, and they don't have a sanitary cycle in their dishwasher, you can get mold, mildew, health problems, contaminants inside there. And you can have stuff, funky stuff growing in that dishwasher. So you can buy them. Many companies make them. You know, there's everyone from Glisten to Cascade make their brand of dishwasher cleaner. Clean the dishwasher every couple months. Now, like, I've got a nice dishwasher, my Z-Line, it has a sanitizing function. It will clean that for me.
There you go.
But really, if you've got the white plastic on the inside, you can get some funky stuff in there. It might not get all of it, so it's one of those hidden things. It's kind of like a garbage disposal. They make garbage disposal cleaners now, too, that you can put down. And it just keeps it fresh, keeps it from getting stinky.
Yeah, with as funky as those get, absolutely.
Man, that stuff can get super funky. And so those are just nice little tips for keeping clean. And while you're in there on that dishwasher, just wipe the seal out, clean it, and you're good to go. That's where we're at. And so really, if you can take that time, go down this list. Some of these things on this list are really simple. Some of them will really keep you from having to do major projects later. especially when we're starting to get into the ceiling and mold and stuff like that. So go back, listen to it, write it down if you need to. And when we come back, we're going to talk about my top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes that homeowners make just as soon as they're out of the house.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.